This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
All right, 9:40, 20 till 10. Quickly to Aaron Bendeley, Vice President for Policy and Strategy at the Pelican Institute. Morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing great. And you?
I hope you were listening just now, were you? Because you're going to save me a lot of time if you were.
Unfortunately, I was not. Okay. You're going to have to bring me up to speed.
Well, we're
so
talking
sorry.
To Douglas Harris, Professor and Chair of Tulane's Department of Economics, Director of the Education Research Alliance for New Orleans. He was talking about the Gator program and vouchers, how they failed miserably, and he thinks that I'm trying to go to my notes here that under regulation is not going to be the answer for people that have said that the program is overregulated. And a final question I asked him was, does he see in any way, shape, or form a voucher program working for the betterment? And I'll just give you a little background. I think that what's happened is it's propped up failing schools, or if the Gator program is going to be a subsidy for parents that are already paying private tuitions, well, what's that going to do to the public school system? And the other question I'll have, Aaron, I'll throw at you and then I'll turn the floor over to you, is, look, I paid private tuition, right, for Ursuline and Mount Carmel. So I get it, but I made a lot of sacrifices. At the same time, I was angry that I had to pay for a public school system that I chose not to use. So I get that part of it as well. Tell me why you think vouchers will work or do work or have worked.
Well, that was really helpful. Thank you for that. And I have followed Dr. Harris's work for a number of years and have a lot of respect for him. But I think we have to really start with the new Louisiana Gator program is not a voucher program. That's the first very important fact here. This is a very different kind of program.
Tell
and we
me
can
how.
Certainly go in. The main feature, well, a couple of things. With regard to how you can use your Gator scholarship, let's start there. What others called the old voucher program, scholarship program, really only gave families one single choice, and that is to take that amount of state money and use it for basically all or nothing. You had to enroll your child full-time in a private school. The Gator program and what you may call education savings account programs throughout the country allows families to completely customize their child's education to meet their individual needs. Now, that could be enrollment, full-time enrollment in a private school, or it could be a totally customized home-based program where they purchase individual courses, they purchase tutoring, they contract with an educational service provider for career training or for dual enrollment, college prep, educational therapies, whatever that child may need. So this is a completely different program in terms of how families can actually use it to personalize their kids' education. There are also very different aspects of this type of program with regard to participating schools and providers. One of the things that we've learned a lot of lessons about over the years and what the research shows is that in an attempt to unfortunately do what we have done in the public education system. When we try to control quality through loads of regulation, bureaucracy, and red tape, we inadvertently limit the number of high-quality choices available to students and kids, particularly disadvantaged students, because we know that when we regulate a program to death and we try to turn private schools into public schools, it's no surprise that a lot of those schools and providers say, you know what, we're out. We're not participating. So these ESA programs do a much better job of respecting the independence and autonomy, and frankly, what has made private education attractive to families for generations. It allows them to do that with less government interference, and really, they are accountable to the person who matters most, and the person who knows their kid better than anyone else, and that's the parents.
All right, let me go to my example, right? So my kid went to Ursuline, went to Mount Carmel, and they had a, I believe, a test was given, and there was an interview, and then there was a selection process based on a lot of, kind of like college, I guess, in a way, and then you were either accepted or you weren't. With this Gator program, the schools will still have the same choice in doing that, right?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's true that schools are not going to be required to change their student handbook, to change their policies and procedures just because they're participating in this program. And I think that's important for a number of ways. Again, I just said it. This is what has made these schools successful, if you will, for generations. It's the reason why families are opting to put their child in these schools instead of public schools or other schools. And I think it's important for families to be aware of the type of school culture that exists if they're going to put this child in that school for most of the day, to know what the expectations are, to know what the culture is, and frankly, to know what their expectations are as parents to support the child's learning and behavior. Now, I think some misinformation that's out there that I hear a lot recently is, oh, well, private schools are just going to cream students, or they're only going to take certain students, and a lot of disadvantaged students are not going to be allowed in. I just don't think the evidence is there to support that. I've seen plenty of private schools throughout the years.
Hang on a second. Let me just jump in for a second. As a parent, why would the private school take on any new students or any disadvantaged students when you know they're going to be getting pushback from parents whose children have already been accepted by afraid that, and I'm just going to say it, that the disadvantaged student's going to bring the rest of the class down? And how does this not just turn into the Gator program with parents get the schools, let me try to get this out, schools still accept the students that they would have already taken. The only difference is the parents are getting a help with the tuition from the state, and nothing really changes as far as the disadvantaged students, and they wind up being funneled into the so-called failing private schools already, other than a home education. Take me through that.
Well, I'm certainly not saying that 100% of every application is that all applications are going to be granted. That's not the case today, and that's certainly not a government requirement of this program going forward. But what we do know is that many, I would say most, of the private schools across our state have a mission. Many of them are connected to to churches or faith-based institutions, or just have a reputation and a long history of accepting a pretty diverse student body, accepting students that have special needs, accepting students that are academically behind, and that is part of their mission and why they exist, and why families and communities have supported them throughout the years to be able to ensure that they serve as many families as possible. There are plenty of private schools across our state that regularly fundraise for the purpose of being able to admit low-income disadvantaged students. I think we have to recognize that fact, and there's pretty overwhelming evidence to support that.
I think sometimes that can be done. I hate to use the word token, but I think sometimes that's done to be made to look as though they are looking for diversity. But I do know that when it comes to selling points for a lot of private schools, they like to talk about scholarships that were received. They like to talk about national merit scholars. So they're very selective about who they let in with an eye toward the back end and attracting new students. And you're saying that this is not going to have any effect on any of that at all, that the institution will be more than willing to take in disadvantaged students, even though there may not be as many merit scholars, there may not be as many scholarships handed out, et cetera, because I don't see that happening.
Again, we know the free market works. We know that good, healthy competition, even in the educational system, works.
But wait, hang on. I'm not trying to argue, Aaron, but as far as the free market goes, since you said that, it seems to me the free market is working in that the schools that are performing well, they don't need any vouchers or students, or they don't need any subsidies for the tuition because they're full. The schools that are not doing well free market-wise are the private schools that are not doing so well, and it seems as though those are the ones that are being propped up, and the data kind of indicates that, doesn't it?
Well, what we've heard directly from schools is that where they feel like they can continue doing what they have done, again, for generations, that families have found valuable to their children, and where the state does not basically force them to conform to the way that we have set up public education across our state, that's when you see schools participate in programs like this, where they know they're going to be able to continue to teach according to their own academic standards, their own curriculum, have expectations for behavior, et cetera. Again, we have to be very careful and essentially using an innovative program like this to force private schools, independent, autonomous schools that are not run by the government, to essentially try to force them into a public school model, which I think we can all admit has had its own significant struggles throughout the years. We've seen that.
Right. And along those lines.
By evidence, by families leaving the public school system in droves. And we're trying to address that through a number of issues on the public side. But we have to make sure that, again, this is a program to put families in the driver's seat, and to make sure that they're choosing something that will work for their child.
Tell me, how do you determine if this is a success or not years from now?
I think we look to see if there's a good, healthy participation in the program, both by families across the state and by schools and providers. I think we also need to look at parent satisfaction, and unfortunately, that was not something that was covered in the article that ran this past weekend. 94% of families surveyed this past year indicated that they were happy with their choice of a school for their child and that they were satisfied with their child's academic progress. And we know that there's a lot that goes into that, not only test scores, but also, do kids feel safe? Do they feel like they have the support that they need at school? Are their individual needs or disabilities being met? What really matters is it working for that child and their family?
Aaron, thank you. You can come back anytime you want because it's not going to go away. We'll continue to talk about it. Aaron Bendeley, Vice President for Policy and Strategy at the Pelican Institute, 952, 8 till 10. We'll find out what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.